everyone. Welcome to 325 Podcast. We're doing a midweek special. Recent news has led us to this meeting. Tuchel's appointment is hitting the football world. We've also had some news on the show, and Costi's been appointed a co-host after his stellar performance in the episode one. Our special guest today is Archie. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Hey guys, yeah, huge Chelsea fan. Obviously, you know, mixed emotion at the moment. Very sad about the Frank news, but excited for things to come with Tuchel. And though tonight's game perhaps didn't show it, I think we're in a good position going forward, and hopefully we'll be back to our old Chelsea.
Yeah. No, it's mixed emotions for sure. We're going to cover whether it was right to sack Frank, and also talk about Tuchel's appointment. So let's start off with Frank sacking. Let's go to our special guest first.
Firstly, obviously, like every single Chelsea fan out there, I'm gutted. You know, Frank's a legend of the club, the best player to ever play for Chelsea. And yes, it's really sad to see him get sacked like that only after 18 months. But at the end of the day, we're 10th. We've spent 200 million. That's not how Abramovich works. You don't get away with that as a Chelsea manager. And, you know, I think the reason this reaction has been like it is from Chelsea fans is just because of the emotion we have towards Frank and how much of a hero he is to all of us and how much we all love him.
How much do you have to separate Frank from the player and Frank the manager?
That's the thing. You've got to completely separate them. They're two complete different jobs. At the end of the day, like being a player, you're on the pitch playing football. Manager, it's a complete different job. And so I think we were right to do that, separate him as a manager from a player. And that's, you know, it was a very bold move from Abramovich. And time will tell if it's the right one.
Mm. Well, he's released his club statement for the first time, which we haven't seen for the managers. It obviously shows it was a difficult position. Rahul, do you think he needed more?
I think I've said that I think 6 months with 200 mil worth of players, especially young players, isn't really long enough for any manager. And I think Frank, maybe he's not that experienced, but I think giving him that time to grow with the players, get some chemistry there, I think maybe to the end of this year would have been the right move. End of the season, sorry. And I think that with these players, you've got to give them time and you've got to give the manager time. And I think he was building something, but I mean, I know it's not how Chelsea operate. You get the manager in. If there's not success, they're out. I mean, it works, but for me, Frank, maybe two or three more months.
I mean, I was having a conversation with Archie earlier about how it's Chelsea. That's how we operate, you know?
Mm. I think to add on Rahul's point, though, the kind of the main reason why I don't think Frank should have been sacked is because, you know, we've got this project which he's building. Like Pep Guardiola said in an interview yesterday, actually, that he says projects don't exist in football, in Premier League, for top clubs like Chelsea. But I think when we've signed such young players, you know, Havertz, 21, 70 million, I'm now worried about his confidence. What's he going to think? He's under so much pressure from all the fans. He's seen a manager get sacked. I think we needed to just relax it a bit.
I think the big thing about Frank, and this is purely from like a Chelsea point of view, and more on the board level, is just sort of the financials that were involved in his sacking. You know, I was reported that it would cost around 7 million to get rid of Frank, and it would probably be around another 7 to 10 to get Tuchel in. And I think when you look at the wages and the transfer fees that they spent on the likes of Werner and Havertz, that decision to get rid of Frank and bring Tuchel in might just be based on that idea that they need to get the best out of Werner, they need to get the best out of Havertz. You know, combined over the next 5 years, you know, their wages and their transfer fee is going to cost the club just shy of £300 million. It's really important that Tuchel can get the best out of Havertz and Werner, and I do believe that Havertz and Werner are the reason that Frank was sacked. I think if they had played well, then he would have kept his job.
Yeah, another thing, I think that maybe on the other side of that, tonight, I mean, I was watching the game for a bit, and I saw Havertz make this run from quite deep, almost all the way to goal, almost score. I think that we might start seeing that with Havertz and Werner. Like, maybe with Frank, their confidence was low, they were out of form. And now this new manager might just revitalise them. I think that might be the kind of thought of the board.
See, I disagree with you there. I don't think Tuchel's a manager. Havertz made it clear how much he admired Lampard as a player and how much he wanted to work under him. And at the end of the day, you're moving from the Bundesliga to the Premier League. You're going to need time to adjust. And I don't think 5 months or whatever they've had, 19 games, is sufficient. Especially with coronavirus, as I mentioned last episode, with all like the difficulties with family and everything, I don't think it's a realistic goal. Whether we now see the change of their performances with Tuchel, then yeah, then I stand wrong. But I don't think it was Frank.
Just I want to add on Rahul's point about Havertz, and I did notice something different about him tonight. I haven't seen him run like that all season. It's the first time we were talking about this on our group chats. The first time we've actually seen him sprint in a Chelsea. Yeah. He didn't have wasn't a great game for Havertz tonight, but he definitely looked a bit more urgent. And hopefully Tuchel can work with him, keep building his confidence. And if there's one thing about Tuchel which he can definitely do, is it's develop players. Like, he took Aubameyang from being a really lost player when he joined Dortmund. He had a really struggled in his first season. He took him to being one of the best strikers in the world.
Dembele.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dembele.
Just on that point of Havertz, don't you think that this sort of game when Wolves, talking about the Wolves game, are sitting back, you know, they're pretty much parking the bus, they're not letting Chelsea have anything. Don't you think that's sort of the game that Havertz has got to come into and make the difference, you know, be that creative outlet? That's why Chelsea paid the big money for him. And obviously you're buying potential, but at the end of the day, you need sort of that instant sort of creativity impact that a top player can bring.
Yeah, Costa, it's good, really good point. Like, you know, he's £70 million and he should be doing that. We should be seeing more from him. He simply hasn't been good enough this season. But then again, he's 21. He's one of the best young talents around. And, you know, we've seen what quality he has. His touch on the ball is different. There is some players I think we need more for. Hakim Ziyech, £50 million. You know, he was one of those players who's meant to replace Hazard. And we haven't seen enough from him. He's 27. He's in the prime of his career. We need more.
Whipping in balls with his left foot. Time and time again.
Does have a pain on him, doesn't he?
He does. He's got a beautiful ball. I don't know. I don't think we can replace Hazard. Pulisic is the closest we were going to get to. I think we've seen that with his agility, what he's got.
They play similarly. Like, I watched Pulisic interview about it. He says the way he kind of like drops his shoulder and likes to take players on in one-on-ones, he like learns a lot from watching Hazard. And
yeah.
He aspires to play similarly, but at the end of the day, we're never going to have an Eden Hazard for a long time.
Exactly.
Never again. Yeah. Maybe, yeah. But what we need is someone who can kind of contribute his creativity to a game, because that's all we're lacking at the moment. Mason Mount's our only player who's, at least James at times, who's bringing us a bit of creativity at the moment. Hudson-Odoi today was very good, but we're still just lacking creativity.
So obviously we've seen this Lampard come to an end. Whether he comes back or not, we will see. Let's talk a bit about Tuchel and whether he was the right decision and what he's going to bring to this Chelsea side. I mean, Rahul, what do you know about Tuchel?
Well, I mean, honestly, not that much, but I know that he worked really well with youth at Dortmund, Dembele, Pulisic, obviously at Chelsea now. I think that he may get the best out of Hudson-Odoi, Havertz, Werner. I think that from there, kind of building up the base through the youth, I think he may be able to bring something special. But I mean, that's all I know right now.
Yeah, I mean, with Tuchel, I think it's quite a typical Chelsea appointment, a fiery personality. I mean, we saw that on the touchline today. He's up for it. He's going to change his attitude. Sometimes he's iffy with the media. But are we just seeing another case of a manager going to stay around for a year, win the league the next year, and then leave Chelsea?
I think that's what you're going to see forever. Not forever, but for the next, until Abramovich goes. Like, that's the culture at Chelsea. That's not going to change.
It's how we're the best club in the last 20 years.
A lot of people complain about it. a lot of people say we need to build kind of like a legacy, like Liverpool have done with Klopp, like City have done with Pep. But I think that's how Chelsea Football Club work. It's how we're the most successful club in the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
Arch, just on that point, do you think sort of Abramovich's methods of getting rid of managers can sometimes take away the the romance of football sometimes, that sort of idea that you can stick with a manager, build something with him, and you know, as a fan, you want to see a manager sort of build something you can follow along. You know, I speaking from an Arsenal fan, you know, we're sort of seeing that at the moment with Arteta. We really see he's got a vision and we're all excited about what he can bring. So, you know, just what do you think about that idea?
It's a really interesting point. Like, you know, that's why I think another reason why we were all so sad to see Frank go, because we were properly building something. It was a true romance story. You know, our ex-best player comes back, makes all these great signings. It really was, but at the end of the day, as a fan, I want to win matches. I want to secure top four spots, win titles. And that's what Abramovich's ethos leads to us doing. And that's what I want to do.
So, yeah, it's true. That's the way Chelsea win. But we've had some questions in, quite a few. I'm sorry if we can't get to all of them. But we'll pick a select few. Hugo Pennant said, was what Harry Redknapp said correct, and that was regarding who says Tuchel is a top manager. He's won the German FA Cup equivalent and he's won League One with PSG. Is he a good manager?
Well, who's a good manager? That's perhaps a better question, isn't it?
Frank Lampard.
He's clearly no discredit to Frank, but Tuchel is clearly we even saw that from the game tonight. Even though, you know, it wasn't our best performance, we just looked a lot more organised. The Leicester game was absolute shambles.
Yeah.
Tuchel, he took PSG to the final of the Champions League last season. He completely transformed FC Mainz. They were really struggling. He managed to get them, I think, eighth in the Bundesliga. It's a lot of really good players. You know, did the same with Dortmund. He clearly is a good manager.
So is Tuchel the right appointment, Rahul?
I mean, from my perspective as a United fan, I'm not too sure for what Chelsea fans actually want. I mean, obviously it's trophies, but I think with Tuchel, what you're getting is organised, well-disciplined football that will, he's proven it at PSG, that he will get you results. Yeah, I know it's easier at PSG, but I think that experience that he's had in the Champions League, playing for managing at Dortmund and PSG, two huge teams, that experience they will bring to the Prem is going to be excellent. I think it's the right thing for Chelsea.
I mean, having listened to the BBC podcast, like Football Daily, which talk a bit about Tuchel, they mentioned a story of how Tuchel took over Mainz on the very last day of pre-season in summer, and the season after they got promoted to Bundesliga, and he finished ninth with them. And so it's this quick turnover which Tuchel provides. I'm sure that had some sort of persuasion in Abramovich's head. But his last two managements at Dortmund, at PSG, both ended with a similar problem to Frank. He lost a bit of the dressing room and fell out with the board. How's that going to cope at Chelsea?
Yeah, Stannard, he said the reason he fell out with the board at PSG, he said, was more political than anything to do with him as a manager. And that happens in football, and that happens at Chelsea particularly. But at the end of the day, my opinion on that is no one can really see Tuchel lasting for more than 3 years. And you know, if he's gonna win a couple titles in those 3 years, I'm happy with that. So I don't really see him falling out of the board as an issue.
Another question from the Instagram from Ollie Byrne. We'll just cover this quickly. What are your thoughts on the rumours of certain players bullying academy players?
I've got very strong views on this. I personally think it's nonsense. Like, Rudiger, I mean, obviously I don't know him, but from what I've seen of him, he's a really good guy. Like, he's Callum Hudson-Odoi is his best friend in the Chelsea squad. And, you know, Tammy stood up and defended him. I think that's just classic kind of Chelsea fans conveying their anger from Frank.
Chelsea Twitter.
Attacking players, you know, Rudiger, we all get annoyed at him because he's a frustrating football player. And yeah, he's not very good. So it's just an easy way of kind of releasing some steam, saying he's been bullying people.
It's just pure speculation.
Yeah, completely agree.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying that it's just pure speculation. And the sort of the one thing about football fans that can annoy all of us is this sort of tendency to just always predict the worst and assume the worst of a situation we have absolutely no idea about. It's rumours and it can really damage the player's career. You know, I'm not sure if you guys remember the whole Granit Xhaka incident. What he did was a lot more serious. But the abuse he got from Arsenal fans was ridiculous. Death threats to his family and stuff like that. At the end of the day, when stuff like that happens, it really does hurt the player's performance on the pitch. And at the end of the day, we all want our team to do well. So abusing our players is going to do nothing to help us. It's going to, you know, if anything, make it worse.
Mm. And I think something quite interesting was that, is there a role of the players to sort of iron that out? And we saw that from Tammy say nonsense that Rudiger said anything. And what I was quite upset to see is just a lack of leadership from Azpilicueta, who only just posted off a photo of him and Rudiger. I mean, what do you think about that says about our club captain?
I mean, look, Azpi, in my opinion, he's our longest club servant and he's been a great club servant. But I just don't know about him as a captain. There was that time, do you remember when we lost 6-0 against Man City? And at the end of the game, apparently he just lost it in the dressing room and was screaming at everyone. I mean, there's times where he's shown his leadership, but I'm not really convinced, to be honest.
Yeah.
If not Azpi, who would you, the current Chelsea squad, who would you like as captain?
Thiago.
Yeah, the only problem there is he can't speak English properly.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a problem for an English club.
Yeah. Mason.
Yeah. I mean, Mason's a 22-year-old kid.
Should keep it for another few years until he goes. Yeah. Hopefully,
Did you see Mason today?
Did I see Mason? Yeah, I thought.
What a performance.
Yeah.
5 minutes.
Yeah. He's our only creative spark at the moment.
But don't you think that's quite worrying for a club that's spent so much money on bringing in creative outlets? The likes of Ziyech and Havertz and, you know, even Chilwell is at the end of the day, he's an attacking fullback. He's meant to be creating chances down the left-hand flank. So the fact that, you know, a 22-year-old Chelsea Academy player who's, you know, come into the club for free is your most dangerous player. What do you think that says necessarily about the recruitment of the club?
I think it says one thing about the academy. I mean, it shows Chelsea have a really strong academy. But it also, just to counter that point, I don't think Chilwell's been poor. He's been brilliant this season. He's had a top season. Archie, who watched the games, will vouch for that.
The way I see this season and reflecting back on it, we've got to separate it. There was up until the Everton game where we lost 1-0. Since before then, we were top of the league.
Turning point.
Yeah. And since, I think you can kind of look at that period and say, yeah, Chilwell hasn't performed in those games. Timo Werner has been awful. Ziyech has been awful. But in the first half of the season, they all performed well.
Yeah.
I hate to bring Arsenal into this conversation too much, but I think a lot of football fans would argue that the 3-1 defeat at the Emirates was sort of the big one that sort of knocked your confidence. From that game specifically, what do you think had to change from that game?
First of all, Arsenal are a rubbish side. Like, you saw that when they played against us. 3 lucky goals. Chelsea went up to scratch, but they're not a dangerous side this season. We've seen that game in, game out. And
I'm terrified of the Arsenal game on Saturday. I'm really... It's a dangerous one. We're going to lose.
These big six, top six matches, or maybe not big six anymore, but these big six matches, form goes out the window, especially when it's a derby.
And I think that's the main reason Frank got the sacking. Every single game, we've only beaten one team in the top half of the table, and that was a really average performance against West Ham. I think just Frank tactically wasn't good enough. He didn't have a system. He did for a period of time, but that was beating lower teams. He couldn't, you know, like Klopp, they had their 4-3-3. Same with Man City, and it's a system which works for them. It's reliable.
And is that's a really good point. The players.
I think it's Frank.
That's got to be Frank.
Yeah. We changed our formation quite a bit. You know, we were muddling it around. And it's the same thing last year. Obviously, it was different last year with the squad we had. But Frank didn't know our best formation, didn't know our best 11 players. And it makes it really difficult for the players, you know, when we make so many changes to our team to kind of go out there and perform. You're playing in a different role to last week. It's not easy.
Do you think if Frank had the squad he had last season, we would be in a better position now?
I mean, look, that's...
It's a question of if and but...
I guess, obviously, last season we were in a better position, so you could say we probably were, but at the end of the day, we've got a much better squad this season to last year. So, yeah. I mean,
it's talent.
Say yes.
Through and throughout, full of talent. And it will be a squad for the next 2 years, and we'll be top of Europe, we'll be top of England with the talent we have.
It's a bit debatable, but we'll see. Yeah, I think just Arch, just sorry mate, just building on that sort of idea of Frank not having like a true formation in his best 11. What do you think Tuchel's best formation is going to be?
So yeah, he played 4-3-3 with Dortmund, and then 4-2-2-2 with PSG. Yeah, so I think he'll probably either go for one of those two. He is known for changing it a bit. But I think in a different manner to how Frank would change it, because he, you know, could change it to tactically outplay other teams, whereas Frank would change it because he didn't know how we're going to play our best football. So yeah, no, time will tell with that.
Does Tuchel have the bottle? We've seen him lose finals with Dortmund. We've seen him lose finals with PSGs. Can he really take a trophy home to Chelsea?
He's made some bold claims. He says he vows to build a team nobody wants to play against. He's promised he's going to win us trophies. He means business.
Bold. We've got one more question, quick one, from Torsten Crow. Which player, now Lampard has gone, would you like to see Tuchel play more often?
Callum.
It does have to be Callum for me as well.
Yeah, he was solid tonight.
Yeah, solid game.
He was the best player on the pitch tonight, 100%.
Yeah, easy.
I'd say Callum as well. I want to see more from him.
Especially left, right, both sides.
Even at right wing back, he that challenge he made.
Yeah, what a challenge.
Only chance of the game. It wouldn't have been
in the box.
What would your preferred Chelsea front four be? Number 10, left wing, right wing, striker. If you had to pick right now.
For
the next 2 games.
Burnley, if we're playing a 4-2-2, I'm going Pulisic on the left, Hudson-Odoi on the right, and Tammy and Timo up front.
Yeah,
I'm actually swapping Pulisic and Callum. Callum on the left, Pulisic on the right. I know with Frank, Pulisic hasn't been superb, but Tuchel, as the commentators mentioned tonight, he's been superb on the right for Dortmund.
Yeah.
And I agree with the Tammy and Werner up front. I think that was a good combination against Luton, but that is Luton.
Yeah. The only thing, Tanad, about Pulisic on the right, the reason I prefer him on the left was last season when he went through that spell of genuinely looking like Eden Hazard. He was on the left. Yeah. He was, you
that
know,
run that against Liverpool.
Effective. Yeah.
Rinsed, yeah. Like, yeah. Champions of Europe.
Yeah.
No, I still believe that Pulisic is the best player at Chelsea right now. I know he's not on form, but I think technically his ability is the best. And I think if you can get the best out of Pulisic, then as a team, you'll definitely sort of reap the rewards.
How old is Pulisic?
Not for season. 22?
Yeah. I mean, he's so easily your best. Yeah.
No, I'd agree with that. Yeah, I've been disappointed with him this season, I can't lie. Even when we were performing well, he hasn't really been at his best.
I mean, he is wearing Willian's number 10 shirt, so...
battling with injuries, but...
Do you think that Havertz is a player who will perform better in a team where players are worse than him than a team where you've got players with the same sort of hype.
This is a strange question, but I think obviously, you know, you're going to say a better team. If you've got better players around him, he's going to play better, isn't he? Well, he's going to be easier for him. But I think with Havertz and Timo, actually, this is all about confidence. And they look just, everything both of them do at the moment just looks really nervous.
Timid.
Timid, yeah. And I think once they get their confidence up, they're going to both be unstoppable because we know they're class players.
I mean, do you relate that sort of to Martial?
Yeah, I mean, Martial, if you watch the game tonight, he was horrendous. Like, he couldn't hold the ball, couldn't play a pass. I think Martial, I believed last season that we'd found, like, a number nine, and now this season that's completely gone again. Cavani's shown him levels playing up top.
You're starting number nine. He's a better striker.
Yeah, 100%. I think Martial's got to be benched for the next few games. Tonight's performance was so bad. And I think relating that to Havertz and Werner, I mean, they haven't been in the Prem as long as Martial, but with Martial, it is about confidence constantly. He goes on runs, and then he'd do three great games, three bad games. I mean, we haven't really seen enough of them yet to make that comparison, but it looks similar.
The main thing which excites me about Werner is you can compare him to Aubameyang, you know, his main quality being his pace, and Tuchel managed to get the best out of Aubameyang. I'm just hoping he'll get the best out of Werner.
Yeah,
I think the big difference between Aubameyang and Werner is that when the ball drops to Aubameyang in the box, you just have that sort of inner belief that he's going to put it in the top corner or the bottom corner. He's going to bury it. From watching Werner this season, whenever he's given the opportunity to score a goal, he just looks scared, and he just can't find his form. Yeah. But once he does, 100%, he's going to be that similar type of player. But it's such a hard thing. Yeah,
Cost,
I think though with Werner, you know, last season you watch his highlights from his 45 goals for Leipzig, and he was ridiculous. He was so lethal in front of goal, and you can almost compare him to Aubameyang in that sense as well. Aubameyang was the same last season. True. Was he Golden Boot winners? He was second.
He was joint second, I think.
Yeah. I thought he joined first.
No,
Aubameyang, you know, he was one. I remember it was the last game of the season against Watford. He got two.
Hardy won it.
Golden Boot was joint top winners.
No, that was 2 years ago. 2 years ago, there was three winners. It was Salah, Aubameyang, and Mane.
Yeah.
Last year it was Vardy. Aubameyang second, I think. Because I remember last game of the season.
It was Vardy, 23 goals.
Yeah, but anyway, Cost, it's the same with Aubameyang this season. That chance he missed the other night, when was it? That open goal?
Yeah. It was against Newcastle.
He's not been hasn't he? Like, he's just been, he's got some personal issues going on, but
I think the issue with Aubameyang this season, to be honest, has just been that the contract. Once you sign that contract and you know you're getting 300+ K a week, just mentally, you can't perform to the same level because you know you've done it. You know, you've got
The fans expect so much more now. I mean, I think it's not really unfair because he has signed the contract, but just signing that contract doesn't mean that his performances are going to instantly like hold or get better.
Is that similar to players' price tags?
Yeah,
I think so.
Havertz, Pepe, Maguire, although Maguire's been good this season, but those sort of high 70s.
I mean, it's so hard for any player coming in with that price on their head. But I think, you know, some players we've seen in the past, it just doesn't really affect them. But for others, you know, it's a mental game as much as it is a physical one, and you need to have that confidence in yourself. And it's, if you don't get off to a good start, which is really important, then once you get the pressure of the fans on your back and you get sort of the media on you. I mean, you can't watch a football game today, Arsenal football game, when Nicolas Pepe is playing and you don't hear the word £72 million. It's just constant. Yeah. You know, it's over 18 months since we signed him and his price tag still gets talked about. The likes of Kepa, the likes of players like that never got that sort of treatment. And it's Kepa because they
didn't have Kepa.
It's obviously different for an Arsenal and Chelsea fans, but Kepa price tag, you hear that every time he plays. And
that's the world's most expensive goalkeepers let that through his legs.
The likes of Maguire, for example.
Yeah, Maguire had it.
You never hear £80 million man. Like, you just never hear that. Sorry, what was that?
Do you think Arsenal Fan TV is good or bad for your club? Because, I mean, from where I am, it looks horrendous, but...
It's horrible.
It's
one of, you know, the most dangerous things that can happen to a football club. When you give that much to a bunch of blokes who don't know that much about football, and their opinions are always so based on emotions.
And that happens so much in the football community nowadays. Yeah. Like emotion, reactional. I think it's the same with Frank. We had a month ago, he was rated top in the nominations for manager of the month, and he'd had a 16 game unbeaten rate. He's had a little bit of a bad patch, and all of a sudden everyone's on his back. The media around it is huge. Everyone's on him. I mean,
I think social media, Twitter, Arsenal Fan TV, things like that. I mean, obviously it gives you something else to the game, but it's so, the amount of like reactionary comments on it is
it's awful. It's awful. I think personally, I think footballers shouldn't have social media.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, it's horrible. Like, I was looking at Werner and Havertz's Instagram yesterday. There, people are commenting, you're the reason Frank's fired, you know, like swearing. Yeah.
Awful.
It's just, imagine seeing all those comments. It's just, that would really damage your confidence, and I strongly believe that affects how you play.
I don't get how Chelsea fans or fans of any club expect that to make the situation better. But anyway, let's move back to Tuchel. So for you, Archie, where does Tuchel have to be in, let's say, 20 matches time, 15 matches time to satisfy you?
I think we've got how many league games we've got left? 18. We need to win 14 of them, at least 14 wins, draw two, lose two.
That's going to be tough.
That's really tough. But
I've
come to a conclusion as a Chelsea fan now. We've just got to be demanding of a manager, because that's how the club works. And, you know, if he doesn't do that well, there's a good chance he'll get sacked. And so we've got to kind of demand the things Abramovich demands for them. There's no point in demanding, let's give him time, you know, like, let's see what he can do next season. We've got to be in accordance with what Abramovich is thinking. And for me, you know, I think Abramovich said he wants us to compete for the title this season, which I think is ridiculous, but...
This season is so messed up.
Yeah. If we can come top five now, brilliant. That's all I'm asking.
Top
for.
Five.
Yeah.
You don't want to change.
I think 14 wins and two draws would get you top four.
Yeah, easy.
And probably not much less than that. I think that's what we'd have to do to get top four. And that's what I'm saying, that would be satisfactory.
I mean, it's been done before.
I'd be okay with that, but...
I saw something quite interesting. I can't remember where it was, maybe like BT Sport or something. But if you look at the amount of wins Solskjaer had last season at this stage, he had 7 wins. Lampard's got 8 wins, 29 points, Solskjaer 28.
Sorry, are you talking about 1920 season?
Yeah, so 1920 season Solskjaer had this compared with Lampard's 2021st.
Yeah.
And it just shows how Man United stuck with Solskjaer.
But I mean, that's something that's always going to be different. Like the culture at our clubs, like we've had for the last 30 years, one manager, or like not 30 years, sorry, it's a stretch, but like for a good 2 decades, we've had one manager, and then we went through a phase of mixing it up, and now we've decided to settle again.
But that is because he provided you success. He gave you success.
He did.
My honest opinion about Solskjaer, no disrespect, I know you're second in the league, but I don't think he's a good enough manager.
Second.
Like, I would be happy
personally if he was managing my club.
I think the argument against Solskjaer is like, it's all about his like pedigree, he's not like experience, but I think that over this season particularly, he's shown that
I mean, second for us this season. Going in, we were expecting like a fourth place, maybe push for the FA Cup.
You won't
Cup.
Finish
like,
second.
I don't know after that game.
So many of the games you've won this season, you've come from behind. So many of them.
Yeah. I'm not happy it's ended, but that run was never sustainable of going behind then having that hope, like, oh, we'll come back. Like, we were going to lose at some point.
I think, I hate to sort of, you know, be too negative about Man United, but the truth in my eyes is that without Bruno, you would be in a much worse position.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I just think
any manager coming into Man U right now, I think if Lampard was at Man U, he could get a similar sort of level out of the players he's got.
Yeah, Bruno should from 30 yards.
From what I've seen from Solskjaer, like, I mean, the Liverpool game, for example, this weekend, tactically in that game, he got it exactly spot on. I mean, he held Rashford out wide on the left for when Trent goes forward. I mean, he executed that perfectly. I mean, tactically, I don't think he's as inept as people say he is. And I think that, I mean, for that reason, and the fact that when Mourinho left, our squad was in, like, tatters. The mood around the club was awful. And if he's done anything, he's progressed us, like, a lot as a team. And I think he deserves to keep the role for the future.
Well, we're getting on now. Just to end it, another question. Sorry if we didn't get to all your questions, but this final one for Archie. Can you see Lampard returning as Chelsea's manager?
From Tony.
Look, it's obviously really, really difficult to see now, isn't it? I'm sure he'll get another managerial job at
Celtic.
Yeah, well, there's been talk about that. And if he does well, who knows? 5-10 years' time, there's absolutely no reason why not if he does well. I mean, it's probably quite unlikely, to be honest. You rarely see a manager come back to a club. Obviously, it happened with Mourinho at Chelsea, but two other cases of that. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a possibility, only if he does well, though, sorts out his tactics.
Yeah. I mean, just on top of that, he got the job after a pretty average season with Derby. And he got the job because he's a club legend. And that club legend status now has sort of, he's used that token, if you like. So if he was to come back, he'd have to have had a decent managerial career behind him.
If he came back, he has to be completely confident that he's going to get results. Because if he doesn't, his legacy's still there, completely intact. But if he comes back for a second unsuccessful spell, that's not good for anyone.
I'll say something quite controversial here, but I personally think Lampard's been a successful manager at Chelsea.
Yeah.
He took us from in a state of absolute shambles. The signings Sarri made, you know, Jorginho, Kepa,
Emerson.
One of the best players the Premier League seen, Hazard, leaving us. We were in a, like, I was thinking that season, I wasn't surprised if we came 10th. Our squad kind of, that's the standard it was at. And he managed to somehow get us top four, bring out Mason Mount, Reece James, Tammy Abraham. They've now got 21 England caps combined between them.
Yeah. Costi disagrees with that. He doesn't think
I do disagree with that. I just think...
successful.
I know it's a bit controversial, but just from the outside point of view, obviously, you know, I'm not as in touch with Chelsea as you guys are, but from how I see it, you know, Sarri got you guys top three. He won the Europa League. So it's not like you had an awful squad. Obviously, you lost Hazard, but you brought in Pulisic. So obviously, it's not a like for like, but it's a good transfer. And I just think that from going from third to fourth, you know, not winning anything, although it was better than people expected, I don't think it was that big of a success.
Yeah, of course. I know you didn't follow Chelsea closely enough to know that Hazard completely carried us to third. We'd have been about eighth or ninth without him. So many games where he scored one of the goals, like that game against West Ham where he won.
I was just about to, yeah.
I was at that game, one of the most ridiculous goals I've ever seen. Like, he was just a different class of player. You know, we also have players like Pedro, Willian, who were really starting to get old and kind of approaching their end of their time.
Yeah, just getting ready for their Arsenal contract, aren't they?
Arsenal retirement club. Anyway, it's been great, guys. Cheers, Archie, for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it was good stuff. Thanks again to Rahul and Kosti, two co-hosts. I hope you've enjoyed this weekday special. Thanks for listening. Cheers.
Come on, Chelsea.
Cheers, guys.